Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 19th June 2022. It's also our Father's Day. Yeah? So before we commence, of course, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all fathers a very happy and blessed Father's Day. Yeah? A well-deserved blessed Father's Day. Yeah? Okay. We are at the second paragraph. This is a continuation. Earlier on, I was explaining to Sister Bindi on how to develop the contemplation of the dwelling. And I covered the cultivation process and the whole of the explanation leading to the understanding of the essential Dhamma means the Four Noble Truths, covering all the first turning, second turning, and the third turning. Especially the second and third turning, they are very important. Okay, now we will continue from where we stopped. When you are in the form of meditation, remember to just relax. Be silent and maintain awareness of body and mind. Formal meditation is to train the heedless thinking mind until it is very quiet to realize the true mind or the silent mind. Then to make it very stable. So this is the main purpose and intent of formal meditation. After that, use it to meditate. Then when you come out of it, all these movements, your mindfulness, your awareness is like heightened or magnified. The slightest movement is like magnified into a very big movement. Even the subtle breathing will become like very clear to you. When your mindfulness has become very stable, and when it has become a part of you, it means your mind has entered sati. And this is a very important stage to realize. Your mind has already entered sati. Your mind is already in sati. Yeah? This stability of mindfulness, the word should be denote, not donate. Denote that your three spiritual faculties of sati, your third spiritual faculty of sati has stabilized and established itself. And when the mind is in sati, even when you come out of the formal meditation, that mind is always aware of all the movement and activities. It is very clear that all this movement will be like magnified. Even when you see the subtle breathing, the movement are like magnified. You are very calm, peaceful, and very still, because your paucity or tranquility of mind is already established and always there. So this tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, which is paucity, can only be developed by a cultivator who has stabilized the awareness nature, the sati within. And after you have stabilized it, it becomes very quiet, very still. So paucity is an enlightenment factor, the fifth enlightenment factor. From piti, you continue to relax and cultivate until the mind becomes very, very quiet, very still, like no more movement. So paucity is actually the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the mind that is just silent and aware. And that is actually your true mind. So that's why paucity is an enlightenment factor. It can lead to awakening. Enlightenment. Then from paucity, when you stabilize it, it gains strength, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is actually the collectedness of mind. The mind is collected and also unwavering. At the moment of sense experience, it is unwavering. It's not only collected, but the stability is such, it's not waver at all. But there is still the awareness there. So you are not in apana samadhi, where you have gone in too deep. But this one is at the stage before apana, means upacara samadhi. That is the samadhi that is most conducive for stabilizing the pasati, so that it becomes samadhi. Then with this samadhi, you can see things as they are without the mind being wavering or stirring or affected by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel or think. When your daily mindfulness can be so stable, then you can see the reality, the movement, the activity. Then you are like witnessing the entire happening. That's why that will lead to the direct seeing. Then when your wisdom and understanding has stabilized until you have the condition, the awakening, then you will insight into phenomena. The three universal characteristics, they will become very clear to you. And you like suddenly understood all phenomena has the universal characteristics. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Because of that, it is impermanent. It continuously change. It's in a state of flux following causes and conditions. You will see it. And you understand if this is the nature's law that governs life and existence, then if I want things my way, which is not nature's way, which is not the reality or the suchness, then this form of mind will suffer. That's why through your ability to observe with the silent mind, to awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent or anicca, it will bring about that consequential understanding of suffering, dukkha. Because you keep on witnessing. Every time you want things your way, you cannot accord and flow. You cannot accept the reality of the moment. You cannot see things as they are. You get into trouble. And that is what dukkha is. That is what suffering or stress is. And because of this universal characteristic, you will also come to realize that there is nothing in this universe that is a permanent and unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and believe that this is you, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So this is what the Buddha meant by anatta nature. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's how you cannot corrupt, you cannot cling, even your own form of mind, your own five aggregate of rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana. They come and go, they arise and they pass away. But you didn't die. Then how can they be you? And because they come and go, they are dependent on anything. That's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity. If it's not a permanent unchanging entity, and if it's not you, then where is the ego? That's why anatta has got one specific meaning, very deep. Not a permanent unchanging entity. And because of that, there is no such thing as a self, an atta, a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. There is no ownership. There is only movement of causes and conditions, dependent originating. That's why his Paticca Samuppada teaching is very beautiful. The law of dependent originating, dependent on certain thing, new thing originate. Yeah. Because nothing exists on its own, because this is a condition. It depends on condition for things to arise. Then because of this, anatta and anicchang, universal characteristic, you will also come to know the conditioned world or the phenomenal world or life and existence is not what you think. Yeah, everything just flow, dependent on originating, like my teacher used to say, mighty nature rolling by, he know you, he know me. There is no mark of self, no mark of others, no mark of existence, nothing. That's why it's empty. Empty nature of existence. That's why when we chant Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta, that is the meaning. Here, impermanent will lead to non-self and empty nature of existence. Like I used to share with you, each and every one of us, we cannot deny we were born into this world. Since that day we were born until now, we have gone through life, depending on your age, for how many years. Some of us are already 6-7 decades old, some are older, even 80 plus. So when you reflect back and recollect all this, the only question you have to ask is, are they real? You cannot deny that when it arrives, at that moment it's as real as it is. But that moment is just such a short moment. Just like our understanding when we have mindfulness. The present moment is the only reality at the highest in life. But this is still within life. So in order to transcend life, we have to transcend even the present moment. That's why we have to cease. So that pure awareness, that sati, must also cease for you to transcend life, for you to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now, nibbana, cessation of form and mind. Then the present moment, which is the only reality and the highest in life, how real can it be? How stable is it? The moment we speak is gone. Split second is dead and gone. Finish. Arise, finish. Arise, pass away. Arise, pass away. And because of that, you have to come to a very clear understanding that this is the only reality. And yet, it is so flimsy. Split second is gone. Split second. So how real can life be? Every moment, every instant, it arises and passes away. Then we have to ask ourselves that question. If this is the only reality in life and it happens so fast, then what are we doing while living life? If you check that with mindfulness, you will get a shock of your life. Most people, before they have this understanding and training, they are totally heedless. They are lost in thought. They are never with the moment. They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Even if they don't worry, they also complain about life. So, that is what we call the heedless living or heedless thinking. We think a lot, we complain a lot, we worry a lot. then we are too busy planning, complaining, and worrying about life. So much so, you are never with the moment to live life. That's why you miss out on life. And when you miss out on life, you cannot understand life. To meditate is to silence, to be aware, to witness, to awaken. But what are you doing? Most people, unless they know how to develop this awareness-based meditation, they are heedless, lost in thought. Or even when they are supposed to meditate and train their mind or develop the cultivation, they actually develop all the thought-based meditation, which is basically involving the mundane mind, the thought process. If the instrument you are using itself already limits you to the thought, then how can you use the instrument, which is thought, to realize an enlightenment that the Dhamma, that the Buddha realized, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, which is akaliko, sanditiko, and ahibasiko. Of course, opanaiko is leading inward and can only be realized by the wise Ishwa themselves. That's why it's Pachetang Veditato Vinohiti. And all these are very clear. So when it comes to meditation, we have to develop those clear understanding. Otherwise, we become gullible. Yeah? So hopefully that will help stabilize your understanding. Okay, we go back to the sharing. Yeah? So this paucity, yeah, tranquility of mind is very important. This is your silent mind, your true mind. Then as you come out of the meditation and go into life, this part is very important. Listen. You will come to realize that every moment of hearing, your nature is in sati. Every contact, or at the moment of smell, taste, tactile, you are very mindful and always in sati. You must have that ability. You must train your mind to have the stability of daily mindfulness until you can do that. Otherwise, you don't stand a chance to realize the truth. Then every moment of seeing, the mind is in sati. That's why you can see things as they are. The specific phenomenal awareness and the spacious awareness without a center has become a part of your nature because of that stability of mindfulness that you have developed. When your mind is in sati, everything you do in life, you are aware. So you don't have to learn to be aware. You only need to train until it is very stable and until that stability has become a part of your nature, which means mindfulness has been developed and stabilized until your mind has entered sati. So get this understood. It takes time, but it will come. It will happen. I remember during the early days, 1988 or towards the end of 88, I did it. And it took me 2 weeks to stabilize it. Then after that, everything become different. Okay, we continue. When your mind enters the, technically, you no longer need an object of meditation. So I use the word technically. Well, some people has been so conditioned and used to it, they still dependent on it. But technically, you can be in sati. Actually, you don't need the object of meditation. You don't have to anchor the mind anymore. Because the mind is already in sati. Why must you anchor it to stabilize it? No need. You don't need to train this mind anymore. Because this mind is already trained. It's just like playing badminton, or learning cooking, or running, swimming, or any type of games you are good at. If you have trained until you are so skillful, you don't need to train anymore. It has already become a part of you. And you just know how to execute it. And it is always spontaneous, without thought. it has become so graceful, so easy, just like the case of badminton. You will know how to return the shot naturally. The only thing lacking is whether you have the stamina to do it or not. But with mindfulness, it doesn't need that much stamina. The moment you are silent without thought, you are already mindful. The mindfulness, when developed continuously, will become a source of power. It has the ability to develop wisdom and understanding. The mindfulness will develop a very strong mind state that is very different, because this mind is just aware. It can insight into phenomena and understand many things. It can see things as they are. It can give rise to wisdom. Mindfulness by itself has nothing inside it. It's just an awareness state that arises when the mundane mind doesn't stir, when there is no interference from the thought process. So all this, as you go through your cultivation, you will start to understand. But to understand until the stability where you can share and teach is not easy. So this part, be patient. It will come, but it will take some time. It will take a while. So don't worry. Initially, after you have connected and awakened, it's like you still don't know anything. Then you may try to remember what you have understood, but my advice is don't do that. Don't try to remember anything. The moment you are awakened, the understanding is already there, connected to your form and mind within your nature. It won't disappear unless the form and mind die. When it's there, every time you encounter something, the understanding will manifest. It will know what to do. It is not knowledge anymore. It's not from memory. It just understands by itself. Okay, sadhu to you for arising such good condition for me to share all this rather beautiful teaching. Does anybody else wants to report your meditation so that I can advise you on how to develop it further? Well, then that time I asked where is Brother Jin Hao? Has he gone back? He texts me a question from Sister Sandra Chan of Singapore. Sandra is, I think, Chua. Is it Chua? Chia, sorry, Brother Chia's wife. And Sandra would like a question answered in the class. So we read out Sister Sandra's question. He said, Brother Teo, I have challenges like everyone else. I still have a lot of Asavak and Sankara. Your book, Knowing and Seeing, has helped to point out the way for me to overcome them. The mundane mind is very active, especially in my workplace and during meetings. When the mind is silent, it can see the three universal characteristics of nature. And I answered, she quoted what I said, all is impermanent. More importantly, is to take care of karma at all times. Then she said, it's easier said than done. Means it's easier to say, but to cultivate, there are challenges. See, this is what I mean. You may think you know, but when it comes to cultivation, it's different. So, according to the Buddha, the Dhamma can be cultivated in three phases. Phase one of Dhamma is Pariyatti, where the understanding of the essential teaching or Dhamma is to be developed or cultivated. After you have understood the teaching, you must put it into practice under phase two of Dhamma, which is Patipatti. You know you have to avoid evil and do good. But how to avoid all evil? You have to keep your precepts. Are you doing it? How to keep the precepts? You must understand what constitute precepts. Why do you keep this precept? Then what constitute evil? Those who violate the precept, they have the evil roots. That's why you have to reflect on them. And when you understand them, then only you can go deep into the understanding of the essential number of what constitute evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are evil, etc. You have to expand on it. Then only can you develop the mindfulness to complement your practice to do it. All this need understanding and cultivation. And cultivation or meditation needs to be done with understanding. I came to realize a lot of cultivators never go into all this reflection and contemplation. So Sandra knew these are challenges. Then she continued. He said, I'm tasked to manage a staff who had not been performing in his job. My management wants me to ask him, but it is very difficult for me to do so. I had given tasks for staff to do, but he failed to do so. He still goes back to his old way, even though he has been on performance improvement program. Then I replied, I said, Sandra just mentioned all this. She didn't ask specific questions. From the way she asked, I think what she wanted is some advice on how to deal with the staff she is supposed to take action on. Then I start to develop the understanding for her to maybe have an understanding of how to go about doing it. I said, you see, meditation is to train your mind to develop the ability to meditate and to awaken to the truth so that you can realize the requisite wisdom and understanding to know who you are, what you are, and to allow you to have the understanding to understand the secret of life, especially the Four Noble Truths. And then from there, you will know how to live life. And this is what meditation is all about. This is what the Dhamma is all about. Without those understanding, it is difficult for you to understand life and to live life and to apply what you have understood to help you understand life, to help you overcome all life problems and suffering. So what she has brought up is a typical life problem, one of the challenges that she is facing in the office. How do you approach all this? Via the Dhamma way is very important. That's why she herself realized that when she... That's why she herself realizes that when you develop the meditation, when you are silent, you can insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. Then you will come to understand that these are the things that you have to do. But her challenges are that she doesn't know how to go about doing it. So this is where her problem is. If you cannot penetrate the Dhamma, it's very difficult for you to apply the Dhamma. So this one is obvious. You cannot penetrate the Dhamma. You have not understood the Dhamma. It's very difficult for you to apply the Dhamma. It's like the chicken and egg story. Before you have the Dhamma, you still have to go through life. You still have problem. And every time you have problem, what do? Like her case. Of course, you seek advice. So to seek advice is very important, but seeking advice is like meditation. So this part you have to listen. You don't go and ask, what must I do? Do you understand? If you do that, you will never learn. Because you have to develop the understanding and the cultivation of it. So what people advise you is based on their understanding and cultivation. Then you will ask, so in my case, what must I do? And then you will get into deeper trouble. After putting this particular style Sorry, after putting this particular staff that has problem in that performance improvement program, his team has not changed and the management put pressure on her to exit. This is a very normal and common problem of society, right? But if you have the Dhamma, you will know what to do. And that's the reason why I have to make the assumption and ask, if you have the Dhamma, how will you act in such a situation? How will you deal with such a situation or person? You can act in a mundane way. We are getting angry. You want me to act? And you can say, I will exit. We are giving him a love letter and finish with it. But is that the way to act? If that is not the way to act, then how should you act? And then there is a comment from a Kayameta. Identify the problem with the style, whether there is weakness in the skill and attitude or not. Then I reply, I say, yes, you can do that. And there is analysis. Do you understand? The mundane approach is to analyze a problem. Analysis involves the thought. Let's say you analyze. You analyze based on what? Based on your views and opinion, we are the thought process of him. You are not going to solve the problem because it's based on your views and opinion and thought-based analysis. Then you come up with an idea. This guy must change, just like what Sandra did. But he continued to behave the way he is, and he has not changed. Then she said, he has a problem. If you perceive him with negativity, then it becomes a problem. Can you see this? The manager wants you to exit. You have already come to a conclusion. They have already come to a conclusion. But you want to be fair to him. You try to give him a chance. But the management is not going to give him a chance. So you try your approach. We are telling him, you cannot do like that. You have to change for the better. And you have to do it like this or like that. And all these are your mundane approaches. When you have the Dhamma, you don't do things that way anymore. That's why you have to act differently. You have to act according to Noble Eightfold Path with understanding. And your approach will be different. Every condition is different. Everyone is different. I cannot advise you on how to act. You yourself have to reflect and contemplate on the teaching and use your own understanding to assess the form of mind. Because he is just the way he is. There are causes and conditions behind, and many other things involved could be coming too. That's why it is not a straightforward thing. There are a lot of possibility in all. That's why without the wisdom and understanding, you cannot act or you cannot advise that person. What she is trying to do is to use the mundane mind to analyze. Then through her views and opinions, she come up with a solution. Or she may follow the company's procedure and take action against this person. This is one of the probable approaches, which normally living being would do, or which society would normally do. But when you have the Dhamma, it is totally different. And I cannot be specific here because there is not enough detail. I don't have enough information about that person and cannot ask. I don't have enough information about that person. And you cannot ask me question like before. So, Brother Theo, what must I do? It's like meditation. After I explain the Dhamma part, then you ask me, so what must I do? So this one is like you don't want to understand the problem. You don't want to understand what is meditation. You just want a shortcut. Or like Maggie Mee, the instant one. So what must I do? Then you gullibly follow instruction. That is not the Dhamma way. The Dharma way is to contemplate, reflect, and develop understanding, then put it into practice. Cultivate it. Investigate into it. If it's the truth, we will stand up to investigation. But instead of doing all this, you become gullible. Teach me how to meditate. When you don't even want to know what is meditation, you just ask people to teach you how to meditate. You didn't even get the word meditation right or defined. Well, meditation is such a loose word. Whatever mental training is meditation. You train in yoga, they call yoga meditation. You train in loving kindness, they call loving kindness meditation. So in this case, you didn't even know what you want. You believe everybody understands. Here you are a Buddhist. You want to learn a meditation that can make you enlightened. To do that, you have to understand what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha that can lead to enlightenment. And that one also you don't want to find out. Instead, you want people to teach you how to meditate. That's why a lot of them become gullible. Then what they do? They give you method, technique, and all the so-called standard practices. Then you gullibly go and follow the instruction. And what are instructions? They are just thought process. They use the thought to read the sutta. Then, believing that they know, they come up with method and technique to meditate, thinking that it will lead to their enlightenment, where they were told. And everybody is doing that. So what's wrong? That is the mentality. It's just like in the world. How come so many people are suffering? Because most of them are deluded, heedless. That's why you have to understand only a handful had the realization and the understanding. And even the handful that has the realization and understanding, not everyone can teach. You must have the understanding. That's why it's very, very difficult or very rare to come across somebody who can really teach and share the Dhamma. It's not easy. It's like the opening verse of the sutta. These true Dhamma, they are very rare. To come across is very, very rare. So we are now more fortunate because we are within the sasana. So within the sasana, the probability of realizing it or encountering somebody who has the understanding is there, but also is very rare. But a lot more common than during non-sasana. That is an obvious fact. So all this understanding you need to have so that you don't become gullible. Don't ask the wrong question. You ask the appropriate question to develop understanding. Not to just like follow the crowd, be gullible. Then when you ask without understanding, you end up being gullible. Because you do without understanding. You just follow instruction. And human beings like to follow instruction. Yes, no need to think. Like a lot of people, they like to work in an environment where everything is standardized already. Like follow certain approved format or principles. So they just repetitive work. Then they don't have to apply their understanding, their wisdom, their understanding, or keep on constantly improve their skill, their training, their ability to be innovative. And all those skills are not there, but they are very good at repetitive things. Of course, like machine, mechanical, they can do even faster and more precise and much more efficient than human beings. Then you have machines or automation that can do all this with such precision and no need to rest. then why do they still need you? You have to understand. That's why AI is replacing a lot of the human personnel. They start to like trim down on all those non-essential stuff where AI can take over, like production worker and all those things. That's why now you see the modern office, the modern industrial complex or manufacturing facility. They are like fully mechanized or more and more AI based, where everything is already managed and run by the software, by the AI. So all this can lead to less and less dependent on human labor or human personnel, which can still make mistakes and all those things. Of course, initially, a lot of people will say, no, 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 there are certain type of work that you still need human being, because if it's robot or whatever, they can make mistakes and all those things. Actually, these people don't really understand, because nowadays, with our advent of this technological understanding, especially the 4G and the 5G, then coming to 6G, things can be processed very fast. And it's like seamless, no gap. That's why machine will not make mistakes. Now they have driverless machine, driverless car. I just saw a video, driverless excavator, concrete pump. And they can stretch very fast, very far. And there are also driverless excavator too. And a lot of this automation has caught our present civilization by surprise. A lot of things can be done without driver. That's why they can fly a driverless plane. Then they can even like invent drones to go all over and do whatever work they want to do. And they came up with such technological advancement that has transformed our civilization and ability to comprehend and understand things that never able before. So all these are happening in front of us during the last 30 to 40 decades. 40 years, or 3 or 4 decades. And moving forward, a lot more will be discovered and developed. So we are actually very blessed in the sense that we are living life during this golden era of our planet Earth, where we can see the ancient, the 50s and the 60s, then the 70s, then the 80s, 90s, and the 2000 and beyond. And we have witnessed so many decades of beautiful transformation and advancement. And we have really experienced all of the various transformation of life. Our quality of life has actually improved a lot of these things. Even during my grandparents' time, my parents' time, they were not able to have the condition to see them or witness them or have them. But we are so blessed, so different. All these things are available, and if you have the means, life can be really beautiful, meaningful, and wonderful. So this is the beauty of having the mind, the understanding. Then you can understand all this, and you can approach all this in a very different way. So we come back to the Dhamma sharing, so that we will not be gullible. Then I continue. You don't want to investigate yourself, and you don't even want to understand what I have taught you. This will make you gullible. Do you understand? Then if I were to give you an answer, and you take my answer as what you perceive, then I will become equally gullible. You may say, yeah, but Theo said not to care about him, or just tell him off. We are giving him a warning, etc. There is no meaning, right? This is because I cannot teach you what to do, because it involves wisdom part. And the wisdom part cannot be taught, because this wisdom you have to develop on your own, and it is an understanding, it's not a knowledge. You cannot approach it from, sorry, you have to approach it from the Dhamma way, like I used to explain. Starting with the Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path will lead to the end of all suffering. So I act with Noble Eightfold Path, then I will not suffer. So what is Noble Eightfold Path? I'm not acting from memory or according to memory. I'm not acting from my conditioning. I'm not trying to analyze anything. He is just the way he is. So I accept him for what he is. These are the things that have happened already. So based on right view, there are causes and conditions behind. It's mainly coming. So it's not about helping this person anymore unless there is condition to help. Then let him learn the Dhamma. Advise him to ask for forgiveness, etc., and change following the Noble Eightfold Path. But this thing is not happening because this person that is involved in this coming thing does not understand Dhamma. And you are just a star working there. With this Noble Eightfold Path, you have to act with the understanding that he is what he is. And because of karmic conditioning, he becomes the way he is. So what I have to do is to arise the right thought. I have to sympathize, love, and compassion. Sorry, I have to have sympathy, love, and compassion. Then I have to talk to this person. I have to be sincere and explain to this person. We are saying, I have a duty to explain all this to you. Otherwise, the company is going to take action against you. So this is the Dhamma part. This Dhamma part, you must know how to express it via right speech, right action, and right thought. The right way to attend to this thing, and the right thought that you have to arise. Meaning the love, the compassion, and the understanding that I have explained just now. This can be one of the ways, but it depends on that person. If that person has karmic negativity and is not listening, then there is not much point, because you are just wasting your time. Then you have to approach it differently. But it depends on his condition then. If he is willing to listen, because you have said it in such a way, following the right speech, right action, and right thought, he will feel better. Just like how I started just now. You have to call him in a very friendly manner. Then explain to him, this is a company that he's working in. And he has done something that is against the company's rules or act or policy. Maybe he came to office late, or whatever job that was given to him, he didn't even try his best, etc. I don't know what the problem is, so I can't be specific. I can only teach you how to apply the Dhamma. So applying the Dhamma is very simple. Approach him with right thought, right speech, and right action, and explain to him very nicely what happened, what's happening, where it's going to affect his future. His job is at stake. You may want to dismiss him if he continues his way, if he chooses not to change, or he does not make an effort to change. If he doesn't recognize that what he is doing or what he has done is not in accordance with the company's rules or principle, then it's very difficult. If he tries to argue with you, then you have to explain to him it's not about right and wrong anymore. It's not about you arguing with me anymore, because I am tasked to review and explain to you what you have done and what the company is going to do to you. That's it. Finish. How you take it is your decision. Yeah, it involves you, your life, your career, your job, your future, etc. So you can explain to people in a very nice and easy to understand manner. That is like you are not taking action against him. You are not being biased against him. And you are not angry with him. You still treat him as a star, like any other star. But because there is a condition in war, the company wants to take action and axe him. So you have to approach it with understanding so that there is no comic negativity. You don't get angry. You don't have selfish intention behind what you are doing. You are not emotional. So greed, hatred, and delusion are not there. So that greed, hatred, and delusion does not arise. You have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. You have the right speech leading to right thought and right action. That is true action. After you apply the Dhamma action of understanding, you can then advise him as follows. They are willing to give you a chance. That's why they put you on performance program, on this performance program. So if you can improve yourself or prove yourself to be otherwise, then there is a possibility that they will retain your service and give you a chance. Otherwise, there is nothing much we can do because this is a company policy. Always remember that if that person has karmic negativity to argue and quarrel with you, you have to maintain your understanding and composure. There is no more emotional negativity. No more wrong speech, wrong thought, and wrong action. Just have to understand him and feel for him and talk to him in a very nice way. We are saying, yes, I understand your condition is pretty difficult. You have a dilemma. But you are not the only one affected. There are others who have to go through the same review too. Only those who are willing to change can be given a second chance. Those who are not willing to change, the company has to take action. And you may have to go. If you are not happy, you can go for arbitration or you can report to the industrial court and file for unfair dismissal. All these are your rights. So if you say all this in an unbiased manner, I think the staff will appreciate your role and look at you differently. You have to advise them this way so that they know their rights and they know you and they know that you have been sincere, you have been helpful, and you are not selfish. And there is no selfish intent or interest in you. You are not causing him fear. If you don't know how to approach him, if you just give him a love letter and then tell him all, or if when he approaches you, you just get angry and speak your mind, it's not going to help. It will only create more misunderstanding and problem. And all this has coming consequences. Life is just the way it is. People are different. Conditions are different. But when you have the Dhamma, you will know how to act. So what I have shared with you is just the Dhamma part, the understanding part. But if you have not cultivated and developed the training, you cannot arise the type of right thought, right speech, and right action, or right understanding via right view to approach the matter. It's very difficult to apply the Dhamma when you yourself have not developed the understanding. Especially so if you have not cultivated it. Of course, you can try. That's why you have to start the cultivation by actually trying it out. After you have heard what I have explained, you can start your cultivation But what is more important is, unless you have developed the cultivation, you cannot attend to or help solve this problem. You will also come to understand what I mean by everyone is different, because conditions are always different, just like meditation. You must understand what meditation is for you to have the ability to just meditate with understanding. Of course, you can ask for guidance. You can report your meditation so that I can advise you or guide you. But you have to start the cultivation process. As you do and encounter problem, you can ask. Then I can advise you. But if you have not even done it, you just listen to theory, then you ask a lot of questions and you are not interested in developing the understanding yourself. We are doing the actual cultivation, then no amount of questions can help you, because every time people explain to you, you are not listening. And this one better make note. A lot of people fall into this category, I realize, in the early days. You are trying to use your own knowledge to understand it and to counter it or to argue it. You can continue to repeat all those things. It is not going to free you. But you are willing to learn and listen attentively to understand the message and put it into practice and cultivate it, then you will develop the understanding. You will transform and progress for the better. These are more useful or more tangible advice. So hopefully with this, you can develop clearer understanding to put in the hard work to develop the cultivation yourself, just like meditation. If you understand what meditation is, you can put it into practice. If you understand life, you will know how to live life. Then you can deal with all this, which are normalized situations or problems. For these are the realities of life and existence. These are career-related realities. Career means involving your job, your work, your livelihood, etc. Okay, we will stop here. It's better for you all to write down your question if you have any. You can ask, but make sure you have done some cultivation before asking. Otherwise, you can just report your meditation and I can guide you as to where you have gone wrong. I can also explain to you why when you do this so-called meditation without understanding, you are being gullible and actually wasting your time. Unfortunately and unknowingly, a lot of meditators just do all this noting, labeling, verbalizing, focusing, and concentrating, etc., in the name of meditation, thinking that they are meditating, yet they have never really understood the teaching and the message of the Buddha, especially on what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. If you don't understand what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, you cannot start and you cannot put it into practice. You need understanding to develop this type of meditation. As I've explained many times before, you should inquire, why are you not peaceful? You have to understand the essential dhamma, the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculties. And from there, the right view and the rest. Then you put them into proper structured flowchart by writing them down for you to go through it, reflect on it until it's very clear. Then only can you put them into practice efficiently. If you need to train the mind, then train it. If your spiritual faculties are still not there, then develop them. You must have a clear focus and understanding of the teachings so that you know what to do while meditating. Then as you do the meditation according to understanding, you will progress. Don't be influenced by what other people say. Like, oh, they meditate that way and I must follow them. If you do that, it means you are being gullible and you don't understand. You think their meditation is more superior. But what is that meditation? It's just one of the methods and technique, the usual noting and verbalizing type of thought-based meditation. That is not meditation at all. Your methods and technique, as you already know, never defines the meditation. All this doing will create more delusion because the thoughts are rather active. And yet, you can still become gullible. People may tell you, if you use this technique method to meditate, you can progress very fast. But that person who has taught this style of meditation is an enlightened being. Then you lose your focus of what is meditation. Then you are more interested in what people tell you, and you become gullible. Then you may say, oh, I think I must give it a try. Then everything you try, like good food, initially you find it interesting, but after a while, what happens? When it is repeated, it's no longer special. It's no longer good to you anymore. That's why you develop the same problem over and over again, because you are chasing after method, technique, teacher, and meditation, and you meditate without understanding. This is what the Buddha taught. Sorry, this is not what the Buddha taught. What the Buddha taught are the essential Dhamma. If you have understood the essential Dhamma, then you can relate to all this teaching that people have said to you. You don't understand. Sorry, they don't understand. If they don't understand, sorry, if they understand, they won't teach that way. It's as simple as that. So this part, you really need to develop your own understanding. Understand it clearly. Make sure you write it down. If you can write it down and express it very clearly based on what you have taught, you have been taught, then you can apply it by putting it into practice. We are phase two of the Dhamma, which is Patipatti. After Pariyatti, phase one of Dhamma, you can go onto the cultivation, which is Patipatti. Then you will progress very fast. You will be amazed at how fast you progress and how fast you can understand the teaching. What you can do now is completely different from what other people do, because you no longer rely on those traditional methods and technique and so-called gullible thought-based teaching to meditate. You just do what you have to do based on your understanding of the essential Dhamma. If you need to train the heedless thinking mind, then train it via any skillful means that you're familiar with. After that, use it. Use the trained mind to meditate. But these are the spiritual faculties that you have developed. The most important spiritual faculty is sati. You have to stabilize it. For sadha and virya, you have to contemplate to develop them. Whereas for sati, you have to do the daily mindfulness and the bowing, etc., to establish and stabilize it. After you have developed some form of stability of sati in your daily mindfulness or daily life, then you have to stabilize it in the form of meditation. That's why you do the lying down and form of sitting meditation. You just relax, silent and away. Let whatever arise to arise. Do not try to resist or suppress or control them. If you find your legs are hurting you when your age catches up, then sit on a chair, a couch, or just lie down. Then develop the posture that you are most comfortable with to meditate. If you are using anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, to stabilize your sati, then you have to relax into it and let it develop until it is very stable. The stabilizing of sati is very important. You have to stabilize it until the breathing becomes very subtle, until the object of meditation, which is the breath, becomes so quiet and so subtle, like there is no more movement. This is the mind entering pasati. When you have reached this stage, stage of tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind will arise. Then don't do anything. Just silence everything and relax into it while maintaining the awareness within. Then the mind will finally enter sleep. That is the mind that can be mindful in the midst of life. That is the mind that can develop daily mindfulness. You are supposed to develop the meditation with all this understanding and not to do all the other thought-based things like noting, verbalizing, focusing, concentrating, chasing after nimitta, jhana, jnana, etc., thus debating. Even the mantra chanting is the same. It's just for you to develop the faith, sadha, virya, and the mindfulness. After the sati has stabilized and become positive, technically, the object of meditation is no longer required, and you don't have to hold on to it anymore. Then you just silence your mind and don't do anything. You chant until the chanting and the awareness become one, until no one is chanting. The chanting can manifest by itself through your subconscious and unconscious mind state. Then your mindfulness and awareness is just there. That will stabilize your mindfulness. Doing it is just like doing the lying down meditation to stabilize your awareness. Then throughout the day, you will have this. Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. This chanting will arise. But it is not you chanting. It's the awareness that is aware of the chanting. The chanting will come out by itself. Then you have to inquire, who is chanting the Buddha's name? Sei zai nian fo. In fact, there is nobody chanting. The Buddha is in your heart. Fo zai xing tou. It's within your true mind. Only the awareness is aware of the chanting. And there is no one chanting. You will come to realize that it's exactly what the Buddha teaches. So this true mind is to be realized. This clarity has to be very stable. Then only can you be mindful in the midst of life itself. That's the daily mindfulness leading to the real meditation, the beginning of the real satipatthana practice. You cannot do that and need to rely on former sitting to have some form of good meditative experience and stability of mindfulness, then you can forget about doing it right. If you don't believe, you can give it a try. Or you can try it out. You can repeat this for many lives, yet it's not going to transform you. Unless you have cultivated in the past before, then you will know how to release the concentration energy and go back to your daily life or daily mindfulness practice. End of the day, it is a daily mindfulness practice and nothing else. You cannot be heedful in the midst of life via daily mindfulness. Then you don't stand a chance because according to Dhammapada verse 21 of the Buddha, the heedless are as if dead. So make sure you understand all this. Then the closing. Now we will recite. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merits. And after that, we can all pay respect to all the great beings and what he was. Okay, good. So at least we completed this 46 lesson of the six patriarchs principle. In fact, this transcript book is very good. All of meditation is here. Yeah. You can understand this and develop the understanding to cultivate accordingly. You will become very beautiful. Okay? Just nice. So you have our 3 minutes of toilet break. So 4:20. No. Maybe we come back at 4:24 to continue our 45 minutes of awareness based meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Yeah? try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the trained mind state that you need to develop, to live your life, and to cultivate the daily mindfulness, leading to heedfulness within life itself. Okay, so now we will continue with our second session, which is the meditation reporting.
Happy Father's Day, Brother Chiu,
Sadhu,
and all the fathers around here in this class.
Sadhu.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Chiu also. Okay, just like to highlight this part there where Brother Chiu, and in fact, this book is very good.
Yeah, this book is very good, yes.
It is very good because actually, Brother Chiu, what you thought of the meditative mind all in this book already.
Yeah, everything earlier, is described clearly there.
In the earlier days, the step back is that we are actually in the earlier days, we are actually looking for something or how to meditate.
Yeah.
And we are seeking methods and techniques to meditate. Without knowing that actually what Brother taught us is already as a development for the real meditation.
Yeah, the ultimate awareness-based meditation.
Yeah.
To realize your true mind.
Correct.
The first hallmark of winning, union.
Because you relax, and in just relax, this relax, if there are many levels.
As
you meditate, you become a lot, then you can understand a lot how the body relax, how the mind relax, and how synchronize with each other.
Yes.
And maintain silent, because in the silent, then you can actually accept and allow whatever arises in the meditations. And the actual awareness, that means that I will call it the real awareness, that this awareness is actually not dual. It needs to be realized.
Yes.
And this awareness will understand whatever happening at that moment.
It has the ability, because it has that clarity, the awareness within. And the awareness is the one that can actually develop the understanding of all this movement. Unless you are silent, you cannot be aware. So you are either lost in thought, means heedlessly thinking, preoccupied with whatever thought process that is you are creating, or you are trying to stir your mind and develop the movement, the proliferation of thought. So if you are doing that, then how can you be awake? You can't. So it's very clear. So you can only do one thing at a time. Either you are awake or you are heedlessly lost in thought. So you check yourself. And to be aware, you don't have to do anything. You just have to silent, relax, maintain awareness. But the problem with human mind is the mundane mind has been so conditioned, so heedless, the habitual tendency, everything, and you lack the understanding that there is another mind. Because you will to have the ability to just relax and maintain awareness, then this mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned mind, they will slow down and return to its original state, because you don't give it any more mental energy, thought energy, to continue that sankhara activity of movement. Because that one needs energy to drive. And what is the energy that drives? The sakkaya ditti, the ignorant, the delusion. But that is the driving force. That one has craving, the craving to know, the craving to experience, the craving to do something in whatever name you call it, to investigate, to develop the understanding, experience, or worry, anxiety, fear, insecurity, all these are the craving that the mind develops through ignorance. Where without ignorance, all this doesn't arise. So the arising of thought, you have to understand, is through ignorance, nothing else. That's why avijja, pachyasankara, and avijja need to be understood. The avijja is very profound, very deep. It's, although mainly sakkayaditi, self-delusion, from there is spin-off. But the main thing about avijja is the lack of understanding of the truth, of the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma. So when you lack the understanding, you will create thought process, thinking through what? Through memory. Well, that is the only thing you have. The brain, which is the organ of memory, which you accumulated everything, your experiences, good and bad, your whatever views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, you accumulate them. Then from there, you create thought, because thought is response to all these memories. So when you do that, you become heedless, you become deluded. And human beings probably, they thought that is the only mind they have. That's why they cannot develop the understanding. But thought is a useful tool for us to live life. Because when we want to learn something, we need thought. When we want to express something, we need thought. When we need to communicate, we need thought. We need thought. When we need to study, we need thought. But we do not understand the purpose of thought. What are thought for? Thought has its purpose in life. That aspect very few people understand. Unless you really meditate and develop the understanding. Then like Krishnamurti, he sees it very clearly. Then he saw through his silent awareness the danger of thought when you don't have the understanding. When the user of thought doesn't have the wisdom and the understanding and allow thought to create a mess of your life, then thought has been wrongly used. It doesn't serve its purpose. So what happened is, people use thought to actually try to solve problems. Mechanical problem, yes. Technical problem, yes. But they try to solve their psychological problem, their life problem. That one you can't. Because that one you need wisdom, which is the Dhamma, the understanding of truth. And this wisdom can only come about through the awareness that is aware, silent, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the universal characteristic, and to develop understanding of who we are, what we are. That's how we become clear of what the five aggregate of form and mind is all about. That's why the Buddhist teaching is very unique. The five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being, the living being, that one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. You have to see that very clearly through the silent mind, the awareness nature. Then only you can come out of the sakkayaditi, the self-delusion, to realize the truth as expressed by the Buddha. The five aggregate of form and mind are empty. They are impermanent. You attach and cling and want things your way, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, they are not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. This is delusion, ignorance, creating all the confusion in life. Then through thought, you create more and more division, more and more duality, Then you go and argue over duality. Then you go and fight over duality. You develop conflict, misunderstanding through what? Through using thought as words and concept, which has duality. That's why the yin yang. They are also a teaching on duality. The I Ching is also on change, the book of change. All these are the evolution of understanding from the Chinese civilization. That's why our culture, our Chinese civilization, 5,000 over years, is very, very rich. We have a lot of teaching, like the Tao. The Tao is the teaching of yin and yang, whereas the I Ching is the teaching of impermanent, the book of change, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So all these understanding are lacking. That's why when the Buddha realized all this and came and teach this teaching and share this teaching, the living being find it very difficult to penetrate. That's why initially he teach the sinhood way, because he know the true understanding of the teaching, especially the Bodhisattva way leading to Sammasambuddhahood, is too immense. The cultivation is too immense. It takes a long, long period of cultivation. He call it world cycles. And this one is too long. How can he teach? That's why not much was mentioned. And it's meant to be the sainthood way, the essential Dhamma. That one is more important. But that forms the basis of cultivation. You need a foundation. From there, you take off. That's why from the Theravada tradition, the teaching comes. Then it evolves into Mahayana. That's how the Sammasambuddhahood type of teaching comes about. They are all interconnected, no different. So based on what Ms. Lee is trying to explain, I think it's very good. The only thing is you haven't developed a clear, stable understanding yet. And you are right in pointing out that in the year 2017, when I shared this Dhamma, 14th of May, at your Wu Ping Ching Sir Center, that time you all were not ready. That's why I said that time you all really cannot understand. They have hooked you. I already say at that time, anybody can understand even 10% of what I teach. He is already very, very, but very few. But at that time, some of the Kayanamita, they do have some understanding, but not much, not like now. But at that time, the resistance from your conditioning, your what they call commonly accepted cultivation and practices, like you mentioned. Well, that was what I realized, then I share with you all. I try my very best to explain why method, technique, and teacher, they are not the meditation. All these are skillful means to do something. They have a purpose. To train the mind, to anchor the mind. Because the mundane mind of most living beings or cultivator is heedless. They think a lot. So they cannot stop the thinking. And they don't even know what is meditation. So what they do is they focus, they concentrate. Then they go into energy field. Then they develop all the theory of practice. Then they go for object of meditation, method, technique. Then they verbalize. Then they develop all this method and technique through what? The thought process. And the thought process is the one that create more thought within the meditation. Then like you say, the awareness is not a knower, not a meditator. It cannot come out and live life. But this part, you must get it very clear later on. You only know a bit based on what you described just now. But later on, it will stabilize. Because this awareness nature, you listen again, is a nature inside. It's not a being. It's not a mind. It cannot come out and live like, you understand? It cannot. And because of that, this one is the unconditioned. This one is silent. But from the silent, everything arises. That's why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. So when he says this, he's referring to the mundane mind, the creative mind, that creation that start from that nature. That's why Hui Ning, after listening to what the fifth patriarch explained to him, came to know this. How amazing is it, is it? Nothing is apart from this true nature of ours. All Dhamma arise from that. So because of that, he came to create awakening. So to meditate is to realize this nature within, the first hallmark of awakening. Then from this nature, you silent everything and let it develop the understanding. The silent mind, which is awareness nature, will observe and see and awaken and understand by itself. Then because it is silent and just aware, it can also insight into phenomena. That's why it's an awakening. It's not a knowledge connected to memory. No. That's the reason why in the early day you all cannot follow, cannot understand. But my nature was very patient. I keep on trying to explain why method and technique are not the meditation. They are just a series of instructions to do things. They have a purpose. That's why I say it's a skill for me to anchor the mind, to train the mind, so that at least you can prevent it from thinking, running. But what the Buddha taught, Anapanasati, is not focusing on concentration. He said develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. That is where the difference is. That method, that technique, is to train your mind to be mindful of the in and out breath. When you are aware or mindful, like his instruction, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Just aware. That is how you train. Then once sati is developed, then only stabilize it to be heedful. Then after that, how to stabilize? Go to the four posture. If four posture also you cannot be aware, then how can you be aware of all the connecting movement? That's why the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, is the third category of practice within the kaya, nupasana. Then only you contemplate the four elements. Contemplate the nine stages of seven, three, decomposition and all those things. That's how that satipatthana teaching comes about. And people don't have the understanding. So, basically, sadhu to you for bringing about the condition. And do listen to today one. It will help you all a lot. It will help you to actually develop clearer understanding of what the awareness nature. That one takes a long time to understand. Not easy. That's why if you were to look back over the years, how all this while, since the very time I decided to come out to share 2004 until now, my teaching is the same. I never teach anything else. Only try to get you all to understand this. And the first hallmark of training, leading the second hallmark and then third hallmark, and waiting for causes and conditions to teach you all the appropriate essential Dhamma, stabilizing it before sharing the Bodhisattva way. But somehow in the year 2016 and 2017, the condition arise for the Bodhisattva way to come out. That's why from there, a lot of things happened. But the movement started actually at Wu Bing Jing's, when I was invited there to share the Heart Sutta. Then the Heart Sutta book, that is the blueprint, that trigger of everything. That's why that time I already told you, as far as the Sainthood Way is concerned, you have enough Dhamma. That Heart Sutta teaching is already very complete. Everything is there. Except if you want to know more of the Bodhisattva way, then we have to teach the Mahayana Sutta. That's why later on, the Mahayana Sutta also took off. A lot of the Mahayana Sutta also took off. That's how it all happened. Miss Lee, okay? Sadhu to you.
Thank you, Brother Teo. That's very good explanations. Regarding this awareness that I say that it actually arises from within, which Brother Teo has explained very well just now. You see, when I just was sharing, I just give an example why I say that. In one of the meditation, normally like there is actually starting to not to rain yet, but there's thunderstorm starting. But for when we have already understood what is sound, you know, so it doesn't actually cause any disturbance to me. I just took it as a sound, and it seems to be very far away, the sound. But after when I sit for some time, when the mind is very still, there is still, suddenly there is a thunder 3 times louder than the earlier one. But no rain now, Baratio.
Yeah.
It straight away come and hit to my heart area. Center heart. And that is very loud, you know, during that time. Loud, then the heart explodes. Like there's an explosion, you know. So that is very, very loud, and I can see my the mind actually disturbed. I got jerked by the thunder during my meditation.
That is a bit of fear.
Moving.
That moment you are caught in fear.
Yeah.
You say jerk means the awareness was not there.
Yeah, it's not there.
That fear.
Then after I can see the mind like
because why? Fear of the unknown. You can't understand what is that. That's why that moment there is fear. But if you are a cultivator, the awareness will come back.
Yes, the awareness came back. The awareness came back.
And you understand. That is for you to understand. But don't be too eager to use your knowledge to explain.
No, it composed the mind, that the mind come back, you know, then I continue to meditate for some time, then only I come up.
Okay. But the understanding part is by itself, through that understanding, then you become different. Because just now, you listener, you said you heard the thunder. You see, the moment you say you heard the thunder, you are not with the awareness already. The perception of what that thing is through your conditioning and memory has labeled it as thunder. The real listening, the awareness nature, is different. There is no word, I already told you, before the perception, before the knowing. That's why it's just that thing, that phenomenon. We call it a phenomenon that the silent or the awareness is aware of. But there is no description, no labeling, no word, no concept, nothing yet. So even the distant sound or what that last time I tried to describe it, I have to use word. In fact, when you are with the oneness nature, awareness without a center, that nature is the oneness. The oneness means it engulfs the whole of the universe that existed. But to realize that, you need wisdom and understanding and stability of that awareness. And during that time, it's very different. During that time, even whatever that arises, I call it, I have to describe it. What is it? Even the very, very far, that distant vibration or sound or whatever you call it. If this nature wants to be aware, it can be aware. It can be aware, and there's no labeling. It's just that thing. No sound, nothing. It's like the baby. When they see, they hear, it's just that consciousness, the pure consciousness. In the seeing, it's just the seeing. The consciousness that aware. No word, nothing. You have to reach that stability. Then the lightning, no matter how loud or what, where does it start and end, you will know. Because that is where the seat of consciousness is. From there, the consciousness arises. But the problem with the thought is, immediately you want to know. That's why that knowing is the one that has to perceive, then only you become confident. That is where the lapse, that moment where you have that fear, the lapse before the awareness come back, means it's not stable yet. It's okay. Very common. But at least now you know it goes to your heart. Most people don't even have the ability to be aware, to be there. But at least you can be there. It's not so bad. That's why when it happens, don't try to know. Silent. Continue to develop the awareness. Then after you come out, very strange, huh? The awareness nature can develop the understanding on its own. When you start to contemplate, reflect, recollect, then the understanding will surface. Then you will know. If before you hear my teaching, you can understand this and realize it before, then it's good. It's very good. But most people can't, because you have not been told. And you don't know what this is. And you dare not use your own words or understanding to go and develop the understanding to share or to report. Because most people need knowledge. They need to be sure that somebody has shared this or what. Then you can relate back to the Dhamma. Initially, it's good. Like the essential Dhamma of the Buddha. No wonder the Buddha teach like that. No wonder the Buddha. But there are a lot of things that is beyond the essential Dhamma. With cultivator of the way who has gone through the Bodhisattva way only understand and learn. And that one you cannot find. So what happened? It's like my nature, when I went through all this since 1989, I got no reference. Nobody talk about this. Nobody share about this. Nobody write about this. Then how come my nature can understand? Because it's from the past. And that thing, Pachetang, can be realized by the wise. That's why I dare to share. I dare to teach. I dare to tell you. This is what it is. So this is where the stability of awareness, even just now in the book I mentioned, to reach that stability, to enable you to have the ability to share, take a while. It's not so fast, not so easy. So be patient. Develop the training, the cultivation, the understanding first. Then stabilize it, contemplate, reflect until very, very stable. Unless you have your past, like I mentioned just now, then all this you will inherit, then it will come back to you. Then your nature will understand very fast. If you all don't have that, then you may need to stabilize it. You may have to change over to a new way of understanding. That's why I like certain Kayanamita who share based on their understanding. They describe it in their own way, which my nature will know. That one means they have developed their own understanding. That's why they can share it that way. So don't be afraid that these things are something very new, never heard people talk about or what. As long as you are clear inside your nature, understood what this thing is, then like the Buddha said, the Dhamma ipacetang can be realized only by the wise, each for themselves. So everyone who realizes the form of mind, they can describe it in their own way, where they have their own conditioning, their own training, the way to express things and all. That's why everyone is different. But no matter how you express it, the one that has gone through, they will understand what that form of mind is trying to describe. Yeah. That's why this type of thing, you cannot lie. You cannot like pretend you know. But the way you go about describing it, those who don't have the real understanding or awakening, they will contradict themselves. A lot of things they say will not match on. Because to have this ability, you must have the refinement of cultivation until everything is so clear. Then you realize all this is just the way it is. It is like the Buddha says, suchness, tatata. Just the way it is. Have to be this way. Yeah. So my nature rejoices if you're trying to share or whatever, but please listen to what I explained just now, because what you share is still within the part that you are still at. You have not gone beyond all those understanding. That's why your description is still that way. But don't worry, it's a very good progress. At least now you know there is this awareness nature. Then what you need to do is to stabilize the understanding. But the understanding is not from knowledge. Don't try to know too early. Don't try to describe it too early, because unless that thing stabilizes and really manifests, that understanding cannot unfold. Okay, Ms. Lee? Hello?
Yes, Matthew.
Yeah, you are there.
Yeah, I'm there. Listening to it.
Yeah, you can continue.
That's true. Thank you, Matthew, for highlighting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because all this is not like overnight you can understand one. It takes a while, one, I realize. Unless your past is very special, then you can. But when you have that type of power, my nature will know what the way you describe and share all this will be very different. Very, very different. But that nature that went through, they will have their own words and they will have their own explanation. Then everything will accord and flow and fall into place. So bear in mind, be patient. Patience is very important. Kanti. Then let the understanding unfold. Let the stability of understanding manifest. Then after that, you can describe it very well. I believe you also realize now, you can't describe much about the awareness nature. You only touch it, know that there is such a thing, but you can't describe much because you haven't stabilized that nature and develop the training and the understanding. That part is still a big topic to actually develop and also stabilize the understanding and the cultivation. It may take a while. It is not so fast. And especially awareness-based meditation, very few people can even come to it. Most of them are caught at the thought level, thought base, doing all those thought based method technique, noting, verbalizing, chanting, and a lot of all these are thought based. But people don't know. Well, people don't have the understanding. That's why, at least for most Kayamita, you all already had some form of understanding of what the cultivation is, what sati is, what awareness is. The only thing is to stabilize it, to develop the stability, and from there, develop the understanding. The understanding process will take a while. It depends on the individual. Not everybody has the past that can just manifest and move. There are, but not many. These type of beings are very rare. So be patient. Okay. Now you continue.
That's what I will need to share today.
Okay.
Maybe
you can ask whatever question you want to know. You can ask. Yeah, no problem.
All right. Like for instance, we got some very seniors. That they actually doing chanting as a samatha.
Okay. Yeah.
And they are cultivating the earth store bodhisattva.
Yeah.
Their faith are very strong. Okay.
Yeah.
So the one of them recently they came and he collapsed. She collapsed. Actually, according to the doctor, is that she experienced a mild stroke. Within seconds, the energy pushed through.
Okay.
But when she woke up, she saw that her whole body during the unconscious, she saw her body actually every part of body become the medicine Buddha.
That is what she tell you all.
When she woke up, she was saying.
No. She tell you or what?
She told us.
Yeah. But what is it that he say is the whole body medicine Buddha? Means medicine Buddha's consciousness inside her or what? That's why you have to be specific, but not important.
Not important.
What is your question? What is it that you want to understand?
The question is, this is all in the conscious that she is have the faith and do the chantings, right?
Yes,
so this
yes.
one become, is already in her mind.
Do you have any particular question? That one can set it aside first, never mind. Forget about try to like...
justify.
She is the way she is, and as well. Don't try to like.
No, I'm trying to understand.
Perceive her as having that condition. Forget about it first. Never mind. Is there any particular question that you want to ask about her way of doing the meditation or what?
No.
Then what is it that you want to ask yourself?
I just want to know that during the unconscious, when she saw the body, the hands, everything in the, saw the Buddha, is that the manifestations?
Okay, I think I make it simple for you. I guide you along. Because by now, you should have the ability to apply the understanding that you have to screen all those things that is reported to you, understand or not? Whatever she described, like last time I used to say, you can have great affinity with great beings. Maybe she has great affinity with Titang Wang Pusa. And she do the chanting, the four hao. Not only she, Alicia also have great affinity with Titang Wang Pusa. The chanting just came and she didn't even know that chanting is Titang Wang Pusa until she heard it in the video or in the YouTube and all those things. And that was many years back when she was, she told me when she was at the Master Shen Hua's temple, Zi Ying Dong, or what you call it. Suddenly, there is something that actually conditioned her to move to a statue in front. And that is a store bodhisattva. She didn't even know. She went and she said. Then suddenly that chanting came. She didn't even know that time she was very new. As I later on, when after some time she came to know about this chanting linked to a stone, that the past connect back and trigger off a lot of things. That's why she progressed. She become very different after that. So if you have affinity with certain great being, if you have faith and you do that, like what I explained last time, the spiritual faculty will come back to you, the Sada Virya, then your Siddhi. She was lucky because she, when she was learning under me, training, the Siddhi was already there. Then that thing manifests, then it helped her to go through the ability to develop the understanding. That's why she progressed very fast and developed that awareness, everything, and connect. And all this become possible. But she is not interested in stroke and all those things. Because when you talk about the Dhamma, if you want to know it as additional knowledge or what, then it's okay. But actually, like the Buddha said, it has nothing to do with the Four Noble Truths and the Three Turning. It's not the what they call the handful of leaf, you understand? It's not the handful of leaf. So you can check, is there any teaching there? Even what she tells you, no need to doubt her. Maybe her affinity with that Tisang Wang Fusa, the great being, then she has to use words to describe, and she don't know what those things mean. Of course, she used the word like the medicine Buddha inside. That's why I asked you a very simple question. Does it mean, or she told you, that Yao Si Fo or medicine Buddha's consciousness is inside her? Where got such thing? Understand? It is because the consciousness that goes through that stroke, and then when she come out of it, she can recall certain things. Yeah. Then you say energy push through and all those things. That one is not important. Yeah. That is not the one that developed the wisdom and the understanding. So all this, you want to be excited about it, is energy field, is consciousness. So forget about it. They are not the essential handful of leaf like the Buddha mentioned. You need to contemplate and reflect and silence your mind to awaken to the essential Dhamma, the universal characteristic and all. These are the important cultivation that you will not become gullible. You will not deviate. Otherwise, you become very excited. Oh, so and so, because of that affinity with this great being, then they actually had a minor stroke. Then the energy pushed through. Then you become, then the thing heal, become medicine. You want to listen to that, you want to believe that, it's up to you as an individual. But as a cultivator, you cannot go that direction. You are no longer gullible. The cultivation is very straightforward. You develop spiritual faculty, you have the affinity, then you will meditate accordingly. Then the awareness, nature, everything will serve. This one, the spiritual faculty hasn't even developed to develop the cultivation, and you are like become excited over what is reported. That's why I ask you a specific question, is to lead you out of the thing so that you can develop the understanding. Can you follow, Miss Lee?
Can.
Yeah. Yeah, these are more important. That screening based on your understanding now should be very clear cut to you. Because the Buddha's teaching is about training your mind to realize the awareness within. Is this what is being described? Training the mind to be aware. To realize the first hallmark of meaning, union. It's nothing to do with that, understand? So you should be more and more clear about all this and focus. Like I used to say, you can listen, just let it be, understand? No need to doubt or what, yeah, let it be. Yeah, these are people's experience, what people have gone through, what people believe, happen to them. And I always say to Kayamita, Tia lo ho, no need to comment, understand not. Then got Dhamma different. No Dhamma different. That's why the Buddha said the handful of leaf, he explained to the monk. Why did he teach the handful of leaf? Because this is conducive for enlightenment. This is conducive for the holy life. And what are these handful of leaf? The Buddha described. These are the four noble truths, the three turning, the essence of his teaching. So from there, you will become very focused. That's why you realize all of my sharing and the teaching is based on the four noble truths and the three turning. And the rest of the essential Dhamma, they spin off from this four noble truths and its three turning. That is what the teaching is all about. The rest are expansion on all these four noble truths and the three turning. They spin off from there. So this understanding will keep you in focus, will prevent you from being gullible. That's why I always say, meditate with understanding, listen with understanding. Now must add the word already, listen with understanding. Do not be gullible. When you listen, you get excited over everything. Then finally, you never check back the essential number. Heedfulness is the path to the devil. Does that teaching lead to the training of mind to be heedful? If it doesn't, just let it be. No need to comment. No need to be excited. No need to like be gullible over what happened. But if you want to know it as a general knowledge or what, then later, when you have the understanding, all this will be understood. That's why no matter who come and describe to me, share with me or what, my nature will know how to screen and advise accordingly. If you don't have the ability, means it's not easy to come out to share or guide. But for your case, it is a stage where you have to develop the understanding. Luckily, you bring it up. So at least with the explanation, now you will develop better understanding. Because I realize you belong to that category that need to go through a lot of all this type of experience and sharing. Then only the thing becomes clear. Because you don't have that penetrative path, huh? That can immediately allow you to penetrate and move. Like most other Kayamita and cultivator, I realize they need some, they need a lot of explanation. I have to explain from all angles.
Intellectual.
Using a lot of example before they can see the full picture. You realize or not? It's just like that whole painting or whatever. They didn't see the whole thing. Like the essential Dhamma, they don't know how to connect another. They don't know that they are like the mind map all connected. So they are curious, one part. Oh, this one they teach like that, this one. They... So everything like very interesting. But when you connect them, it becomes so different. The whole teaching, the full picture fall into place. Then no matter what people ask you or share with you, you can understand because the whole map is there. They just have to mention, like a map to take you somewhere. They say, oh, KLCC. Because you know it inside out. Like, yeah. Then if he describe wrongly, you also know. Yeah. If he haven't been there, means he haven't been. He cannot. He can only use theory to describe it wrongly. Yeah. But for this particular friend, your Dhamma friend or whatever, is her experience, according to her, is with Tisang Wang Pusa. But there is such thing as faith and affinity. I already told you. There are certain things that are true, possible. But does it lead to cultivation? That is more important. If it does not lead to cultivation, you just listen. Then just let it be. Understand? No need to be like excited by it and all things. And like very amazing. Wow, the Buddha, the medicine Buddha inside her. I mean, you can listen to me. Thank you, because no point. Maybe something
a different.
She recover or whatever. I don't know, but you have to understand that type of grieving nature don't go into people's body. Understand?
Yeah, that one I can understand.
Because that grieving, they have their way of manifestation because of their perfection. Well, it has become a part of nature's law. Then when you have the affinity to connect, then that nature's law manifests, and it will manifest as something that will happen to guide you, to bless you, and to protect you. And that one, it can manifest.
Yeah, it's very true.
But when it comes to cultivation, it's different.
Yeah.
That's why the teaching is there, and you check. Nothing to do with the teaching. Why be excited about it and all that? So this is a good way of like avoiding the yin wang lua, to go astray or to be gullible. Because I realize a lot of these things crack a lot of people's mind. Because it's like very magical, psychic, and exciting. Wow, such experience. Medicine Buddha inside my body. But like the Buddha said, the form is the form. Go the way of nature. No matter how special you are, the form of mind is the form of mind. It's not you. We go the way of nature. When the time comes, this thing will manifest and unfold. And this body, we cannot cling, we cannot grasp. Yeah, it doesn't belong to us. It is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So all this understanding will develop the wisdom for you not to be gullible when you listen to all these things. Well, for me, I cannot be excited by all this type of thing. But if somebody progresses and develops the thing very well, my nature rejoices. My nature really rejoices. So today's sharing is very good. Thank you so much, Sister Lee, for bringing out all these conditions. Well, this one will help other people too.
Yeah, because I find that our habitual tendency and curiosity sometimes.
It is very deep rooted inside there. Yeah.
Yes, because the want to know is something that
how chasing
want to know what's the
Mandarin word, the how chi is very good. In English you call what? Curious. The curiosity, you say the dongsi, got such thing, there's a curious, how chi.
Curiosity not so much on the experience, curiosity much on how it comes.
It's more than curiosity, it's like how chi in the good sense, and in the spiritual sense, you become like excited over it, like very excited over it.
Not so much excited, but it's more on like, want to know.
Want to know means it excites you, that's why you want to know. Otherwise you don't want to know. You become like attracted to what was described. So the mind, the mundane mind has is what they call habitual tendency, conditioning, belief system.
Yes, true, right? We actually, from the teaching, from your teaching, from your guidance, we know about where to focus, what to learn. We know. But when it comes to sometimes, the curiosity still be there.
That's why I really told you to root out habitual tendency is not easy. Even Zheng Yan Fa Shi, in his book, Wu Liang Yi Jing, you realize how many times she stressed on that or not? Habitual tendency, very difficult to root out. Even she herself, she know. Then the other thing that you have to understand is maybe you bring about a very good condition. Krishnamurti always said, he said, if you are aware The first thing you start to develop as understanding is you come to realize how conditioned you are.
Yeah.
Your belief system, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your habitual tendency, all these are in you. So if you live life from this memory and this conditioning, then you are not living life at all. That's why he always say, acting according to memory, your conditioning, you are not acting at all. Then how should we act? We should act according to our understanding. But he don't have the Buddhist teaching. That's why when we have the Buddhist teaching, we act according to Dhamma way, following Noble Eightfold Path, following the essential Dhamma that the Buddha had taught us. But what is important is Krishnamurti every time emphasized, but people fail to understand it. He said, you must be aware of your conditioning, aware of your habitual tendency.
Mm.
You listen, eh? This one hasn't finished yet.
Yeah.
Aware, the meaning is very deep. Then you know what he's saying. Or not. Yeah? Don't try to do anything. Don't try to use your thought to analyze. Use your knowledge to try to solve that problem. He said, if you try to do that, you are actually making it worse. Why? Because the thought is the one that is trying to get away from the conditioning. Oh, I don't want to act according to conditioning. You understand? Huh? I don't want to hold on to my views, my opinion.
Go to another.
The other extreme, understand? Huh?
Yeah.
Then you yanna. You suppress, you control. Then you are playing around with what? With thought, with memory. That's why you say it's very difficult to break free from memory, from habitual learning. Why? Because your awareness nature, your wisdom, not stable. When the wisdom is stable, the awareness nature is stable, you listen. At the moment of sense experience, what happened? Yoniso manasikara, this Dhamma, this understanding will arise. And because of your awareness, it is just aware. Then like the third way, it sees.
Mm.
Then you realize that they are all dependent originating, no reality. He know you, he know me. No mark of self, no mark of Dhamma, nothing. Everything is empty. That's an emptiness. Then only you can root it out. Then only it can cease. Do you understand? That's why the awareness is very important. It's not through thinking, not through logic.
Yes, yes.
Not through the intellectual. Try to analyze, try to reason and understand. Then try to use the answer to solve your problem. You can't. If you do that, the thought becomes active. And you are actually wasting your time doing all this repeatedly. That's why I say, don't be too eager to know. The knowing is by the thought. Don't be too eager to do. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Just silence your way. Stabilize that. Believe me, try it. Then you become different. Then the understanding becomes different. You have to be very, very patient. Kandi. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Brajo.
Yeah, Sato.
Very good session.
We should end.